Imagine the following scenario. Somebody wins a contest, and he is allowed 15 minutes in some big store. I'm not so up on the stores now, but let's say a Target or Walmart kind of store. He has a wagon, and he can take whatever he can get in 15 minutes. A few seconds before the 15 minutes start to start, he gets a phone call. His phone rings. He says, "All right, I got another few seconds. I'll just see who it is." And he sees that it's somebody that he hasn't spoken to in a really long time. So he decides to take the call. And he's talking and talking and talking. And his time is going away just as fast. And about 8 minutes later, he finally finishes the phone call and is about to start taking whatever he can from the store. And he notices that he got a WhatsApp message. So he says, "Oh, I'll just quickly see who it is." Sees who it is. Something important. Decides to answer it. After all this, about 11, 12 minutes have gone by, and he finally starts getting whatever he can. The bell rings, the 15 minutes are up, and he has a few items, a few little things that he was able to manage to get in the last 4 minutes, worth maybe $50, something like that. Now let's say there was a device called a stupidometer, or a foolometer, which measures how stupid a person is, or how foolish an act that a person did is. So, on a scale from 1 to 10, who here thinks that what this guy did was on the upper end of the scale, an 8 or a 9 or a 10? Okay. I see a bunch of hands that did not go up. So, who here thinks that, no, what he did was not very stupid, wasn't very foolish. He was really like on the lower end of the scale, a 1, a 2, or a 3. Nobody. So I guess there's some people who are somewhere in the middle. Okay, I think we can all agree that that is a very silly and foolish thing to do. Well, it's a good thing that Chazal say, Ein Adam Misim Atzmo Rasha, that a person can't incriminate himself. Because many of you, could be that's why some people didn't raise their hands, they knew they'd be incriminating themselves. Whoever raised your hand, it could very possibly be that you just incriminated yourselves. Why? Well, let's first think about why is this so foolish? Why is what this guy did so foolish? Because when you have an opportunity to gain something very valuable and relatively lasting, but you pass it up for something trivial, something fleeting, well, that is, there's no other way of describing it than foolish. You have an opportunity to get something worth hundreds, thousands of dollars, but you passed it up for a little phone call, which you could have called the guy back afterwards. Or WhatsApp, you could have done it afterwards. I think everyone would agree that that's just not intelligent. So if this is true regarding a few hundred, maybe a few thousand dollars worth of merchandise versus a conversation on your cell phone, what can we say about giving up the most precious, the most valuable, the most long-lasting thing that there is in the world for anything else that is less important and less long-lasting than that? And if you haven't realized yet, of course, I'm talking about Torah and spirituality. But you see, the difference is, of course, If you're talking about 15 minutes in a department store and you can get whatever you want, so you know what you want, it's right in front of your face, you know the value, you know how much all these items are worth, and then you know that if you put it in your cart, you're going to be rich. But when it comes to Torah, it's a little bit more difficult to really understand why this is so precious and how beneficial it is for us. And we could spend hours talking about Ma'amarei Chazal that show how precious and special Torah is, and again, in general, Torah and mitzvot, and especially relative to other things in the world. But it's the kind of thing that you just have to experience yourself. Ta'amu uru'u ki tov Hashem. You have to taste it yourself. There's no way I can stand there for hours talking to you about it. It's not going to help. You have to actually taste it yourself. It's like trying to describe a rainbow to a blind man, or a beautiful piece of music to a deaf man. There's no way. It's impossible to describe it. You have to actually get into it. You have to actually taste it. But even though, as I said, there's no way to describe it, I want to just give a few examples. A few examples from Chazal, and I think, hopefully, we'll get to understand this mashal that I started with a little bit better. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Yikara hi mipninim v'chof chafatzecha lo yishvuva. It, Torah, is more precious than pearls and all other articles, all of your desires cannot compare to it. So Chazal learned from there, it's actually not talking about pearls. It's actually talking about Kohen Gadol HaNichnas Lifnai V'Lifnim. In other words, even something as great as a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim cannot compare to Torah. And Chafatzecha, that means even chetzei shamayim, even spiritual things, even mitzvot cannot compare to Torah. Nothing can compare to Torah. Or is a Mishnah on Pirkei Avot in the sixth parak, which is only bright though, but still Ma'amarei Chazal. Amar Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma. Pam achat hayiti me'alech baderech. I was walking on the way, Pagavi Adam Echad, someone met up with me, Venatan li shalom, Vichzarti lo shalom, he said hello, I said hello. Amarli, Rebbe, Me'eza makomata, where do you come from? So Amarti lo, Me'ir gedola, Shel chachamim, Vishel sofrimani, I'm from a big city with a lot of big talmidei chachamim. Amarli, so this guy said back to me, Rebbe, Ritzoncha shetaduri manu bimkomenu. Do you want to maybe move in with us? Vani etein lacha elef alafim dinarei zahav. I will give you thousands and thousands of golden coins. Vavanim tovot margaliot, and precious pearls, precious gems and pearls. Amarti lo. Who is this again? Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma said, Im atanoten li kol. Kesef v'zahav v'avanim tovot u'margil shabolam. If you give me everything, the most, all the money in the world, eini dar ela v'makom Torah, I will only live in a place where there's Torah. V'chein katu b'sefer tili ma'idei David HaMelech Yisrael, because it says in Tehillim, tov li Torah picha me'alfei zahav v'chesef. It's a song, for those of you who know it. Totally Torah, the Torah of your mouth is greater to me than Alfei Zahav Kesef. And David HaMelech had that, but he didn't care about all that. All he cared about was Torah. V'lo'od, Ela Shebe'at Petirato Shel Adam. And this really is why Torah and Mitzvot is so much more important, so much more valuable than anything else you can imagine in this world. Because when a person dies, Ein melavin lo la'adam lo kesef v'lo zahav, gold and silver do not accompany him. V'lo avanim tovot u'magaliot, and not all those precious gems. Ela Torah u'ma'asim tovim bilvad. Only Torah and mitzvot. It's the only thing that lasts. Nothing else lasts. In this world, maybe, but this world is not lasting. The next world is the ultimate goal. I remember I don't remember why I said this, but I was with a student, and I said, if you would give me a choice between knowing all the Torah that Rav Schechter knows, I'm very close with Rav Schechter, and I look up to him greatly. If you would give me a choice between either knowing all the Torah that Rav Schechter knows, or $1 billion, it wouldn't even take me a millionth of a second to make that decision. There's no decision. There's no. The guy looked at me like I was crazy, like I fell off the moon. What are you, crazy? You can get $1 billion? What is it worth? Who cares? How could that possibly be more important than Torah knowledge? It goes further. There's, you all know the Sefer Chafetz Chaim on Lashon Hara, right? So in the beginning, he goes through all the mitzvot aseh and mitzvot lo taseh that you could possibly be over, that you can transgress by speaking Lashon Hara. In Yud Bet, he says as follows. More important than everything else, he says, that every moment that you speak Lashon Hara, you are over on the mitzvah aseh of Limud Torah. Because you could be learning Torah instead of talking Lashon Hara. Shehi mitzvah aseh gemurah. First of all, you have to understand that it's an absolute mitzvah aseh. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's one of the tayag mitzvot. And then he says, Vein kates yischar mitzvah aseh zu shehi shkula keneged kol mitzvot. And there's no end to the reward of this mitzvah, which is equal to all the mitzvot in the Torah. Right? There's only 7 mitzvot that Chazal say are equal to all the rest. One of them is Limud Torah. Shekol mitzvot einon shavot lidibur echad shel Torah. All the mitzvot cannot be compared to even one word of Torah. And then he says something very scary. Ulehefech onesh bitula shakul kenei kol avonot. The punishment for being mevatel Torah is equal to all the sins. All the punishments for all the other sins. And then he says that he saw in the name of the Gra something amazing. The Gra says, you know, a lot of times in Chazal it says, someone's going to eventually give din v'cheshbon, judgment and calculation for this sin. Why din v'cheshbon? Just say din. Why din v'cheshbon? So the Gra says as follows. Din means the actual sin you did. You're going to get judged for that sin. You're going to get punished for the sin you did. Cheshbon is Hashem's going to say, okay, during that 10 minutes that you did that sin, let's calculate how much Torah you could have been learning and weren't, and therefore you're also going to get punished for that. But more important than all of this, the Chafetz Chaim then quotes the Gra saying as follows, Ki be'emet, Bechol teva v'teva shel limud Torah. Every letter, every word of limud Torah, hu mekayim mitzvat aseh b'fnei atzma. It's a separate mitzvah aseh. If you learn during morning seder 3 hours, it's not like, okay, that was one chunk of a mitzvah aseh of limud Torah. No, that was hundreds, maybe even thousands of mitzvah aseh for every word you read. V'im lo made perik mishnayot or daf gemara. Let's say you learn one perik of mishnaya of mishnah or a daf of gemara. Mikayim kama meot mitzvot kemo shekatav agra b'shnot Eliyahu. V'im kein, and therefore he says, how many mitzvot asay were we mavatel during speaking lashon hara or any other aveir that we were doing? So I think now we can really understand, and I'll explain to you why that mashal that I started with came to my mind. You know, I'm a little bit of an onlooker here, because like most of you guys, the Shanaf guys, this is my first year here, okay? All the other Rabbeim have been here for years. I'm an onlooker. And I'm only here in the afternoons, from 3 o'clock till the end of afternoon Seder, and once a week, I give one of those chaburot, 610 chaburot. And it's come to my attention that from 3 to 3:30, for some reason, I don't see this many guys in the Beis Medrash. It's unbelievable to me. This Seder starts at 3 o'clock, And there's this little opportunity to learn with a Rebbe or, you know, an older Sholem Eshiv, whoever. I don't see even a third of the amount of people that are here. I'll be lucky if it's a third of the amount of people here. And the 6-10 class, I have a list of about 25 guys on my list. And I'm sure every other Rebbe has the same amount. The most I've ever gotten was 5, maybe. So maybe, and it could be, that during that time, the Beis Medrash is filled with everybody else learning because they're not interested in those shiurim. Seder, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But I don't know why. I have a feeling that the Beis Medrash is not filled. So it's not just that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And by the way, Rav Elmalei did not put me up to this. He didn't say, you know, really bash him over the heads for missing all these siddurim. No, it's really for myself. I'm just trying to give you guys advice. It is unbelievable to me, the missed opportunity of an hour and a half a day, 3 to 3:30, 6 to 7, almost every day. Many, many guys just, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea. And I'm not even talking about, I don't know what happens during Seder, how late people come to regular morning Seder, afternoon Seder. I do know afternoon Seder a little bit. Night Seder. Do you realize the amount, as we said, it's just like that guy having the opportunity to fill his cart with the most precious things in the world, and he's just sleeping, he's talking on the phone, he's doing other things. It's just unfathomable. You're missing the opportunity of a lifetime to change your life, to make your life better, and to gain the most precious thing that the world has to offer. I did a simple calculation. You know, everyone talks about the year in Israel. You're here for a year. You're not here for even close to a year. Let's get that out of our... Let's call it the 8 months in Israel, if we're lucky, 8 months, okay? Of those 8 months, I did a calculation, I took out a calendar last night. I counted how many days of actual learning, Seder days, we have this year. There's 150 days of learning. That's all. 150 days of learning. That's all there is. That's very apropos to the mashal I gave. 15 minutes to fill up your cart. And here we have 150 days to fill up our carts with the most precious thing that the world has to offer. And so far, approximately 40 days have gone. I don't know if you realize it. 40 days are gone. The year is 40 days are gone. Whatever has passed has passed. You can never make it up. I've had the opportunity to speak at the beginning of the year, previous years, to the guys, mom is just coming off the plane. And I said to them as follows, that I am really jealous of every single one of you. And I said, I know that you think that jealousy is a bad thing, you're not allowed to be jealous, but there's one thing you're allowed to be jealous about. Kinat sofrim tarbe chokhma. If you're jealous of a Talmud Chacham, so then that'll make you into more of a Talmud Chacham. So that's allowed. But I'm jealous of you because I already did my first year in Israel, and I already wasted my first year. Baruch Hashem, I've tried my hardest since then to make it up and to learn as much Torah as I can. And let's say for the last 30 years I've really been learning Torah. I'm not saying I never mevatel Torah. I'm not like the Gra who after a whole year, 9 minutes I think, his calculation, 9 minutes of Bittul Torah. I'm not even close to that. But I've been trying to learn for the last 30 years. No matter how hard I try, however, I will never be able to say, at least at this point, that I've learned for 31 years because the first year I didn't. I could try to make up, but I can never make up the past. You can never learn, go back in time and make that up. It's a missed opportunity. Nothing else. Simply a missed opportunity. Besides calculating how many days we have left, every day we have approximately, I'm talking about simply Seder time. Forget about before davening, forget about during lunch break, forget about after. There's about 9.5 hours a day when you're supposed to be learning in the Beis Medrash. You're supposed to be in Shir, Beis Medrash, whatever. That If I'm correct that this 3 to 3:30 and the 6 to 7 slot, many, many guys are missing, that means that's an hour and a half out of the day, out of this 9.5 hours that you're not learning. And again, that's a missed opportunity. There's no way of getting that back. You could do from here on in, Bezrat Hashem, but, and again, you don't have to go to the shir. Go learn something else. This is the time that you have. You can never make this up again. Why waste the time? But I want to add one more thing. That this concept of Torah and living a Torah life, how precious it is, it's not just Olam Haba. It's not just that in Olam Haba, like the Mishnah said, you know, this is the only thing you could take with you, you can't take gold and silver. One of my favorite vorts, mamash, I say it every year on Parshat Ekev. The pasuk says, I know I had it before. Ba'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem Elokeach Hashem Eimach. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Am Yisrael. And now, O Israel, what is God asking of you? Kiim, all that He is asking of you is, Li'irat Hashem Elokeach, you should fear God. Lelechet b'chol derachav, go in all His ways. V'la'ava oto, love Him. V'la'avod et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'chol nafshecha, serve God with all your heart and all your soul. Lishmor et mitzvot Hashem et chukotav, to keep His mitzvot and His commandments. Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. That's it. Not a big deal. That's all God is asking of you. The question is so obvious that the Gemara in Brachot, which we'll get to, those of you who are taking afternoon Seder seriously and learning Brachot, you will see very soon the Gemara in Brachot asks, V'chi yirat Hashem miltra zutrutehi, what is that, such a small thing? To liyirat Hashem? That Hashem says, Ma Hashem lokech shoel meimach? The Gemara's answer, honestly, is very strange. The Gemara says, yes, for Moshe Rabbeinu it was a very small, simple thing. And that's why he said it like this, which is very strange because Moshe knows who he's speaking to. Maybe on his level, yeah, for him it's a milta zutrati, it's nothing. But to say that to Am Yisrael as if, I mean, you have to know who you're talking to. If you're an educator, you can't speak to them on a level that's beyond them. You have to talk in their language. So I think the answer is, the true answer and the best answer is what the Ramban says. The end of those two psukim, there's two more words. I didn't read it. L'tov lach. All God asks of you is this, that, and the other thing. L'tov lach, for your own benefit. Hashem is saying, I'm not asking you anything difficult because I want to make your lives miserable. It's for your own benefit. To fear Hashem and to keep the mitzvot and to love Hashem is for your own benefit. And we're talking about not an Olam Haba, that's for sure, but even an Olam Hazeh, it's for your benefit. You know, there's a song written by this Israeli performer. It's called the Yeshiva Shir. In this song, you see, the secular Israelis very much think that, you know, the Haredi community is crazy. They don't know how to really enjoy life. They're always, you know, sitting and learning and not really enjoying life. So the chorus of the song is, "Tagid li ma yoter matok midaf gemara misvara tova barambam." Tell me what is sweeter than a good daf of gemara or a good pshat in the Rambam. In other words, you think we're suffering? You think we don't enjoy life? We enjoy life more than you do. We have true pleasure in life in this world. I was just talking to one of the guys in my shir yesterday. Okay, he knows who he is, and I said in front of the other guys, and kol hakavod. We had a very difficult gemara yesterday in Brachot, and most of the guys didn't really put the effort into it. And one guy really, really put the effort into it during Seder, and he really hopped it. And I asked him in shir in front of everybody, I said, what did you feel like after that? And he said, he really felt good. You feel good if you work on it and you get it. It's the most amazing feeling possible. Think about it. I'm sure that every Shana Bet guy here came into Shana Aleph saying, I'm not going to get flipped out. They're not going to get me. I'm going to be different than everyone else. I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm going to come back, go to college, continue my life. Okay, so they obviously got into learning. And they're here another year. Do you think any of the Shanbek guys are saying to themselves, darn it, I can't believe that I let myself get into it. It's ridiculous. I'm not enjoying it, but I'm doing it anyway. No, they realize that this is the MS. This is truth. This is what's really pleasurable in life. Look around. Look around to Rebbeim or Frum Jews. You ever go away for Shabbos, right? Did you ever see these Frum families? You ever see like, oh, Nebuch, they're such tell you, they don't have, all these devices. They don't have television. They don't have, I don't know what. They must be so Nebuch. Did you ever see such happy people in your lives? They are the happiest people. I think I'm the happiest person I know. I can't imagine having a better life. And I'll tell you right now, you wouldn't believe what my bank account looks like. Okay? Is that what's important? That doesn't give you pleasure. That doesn't give you happiness. How many billionaires do we know out there who are not happy? That's not what pleasure and happiness in life gives you. This is what I mean. Think about the mashal again. You have these 15, not minutes, you have these 150 days. Okay, actually 110 days left. And you have an opportunity to fill your cart. The question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to be one of those fools who is just going to waste away the year? And honestly, then your whole lives? Because if you don't do it this year, it's very unlikely that it's going to happen in a future year. This is the time to do it. And I'll end with two very quick, short parts. What? Two very quick things. This concept is also found in the Parsha. We know the famous, Yaakov says, Vayivater Yaakov Levado. He was by himself, and that's when he had the wrestling match with the angel. Correct? So Chazal say, why was he by himself? Because he went back for what? Pachim Ktanim. Little vessels that he forgot. So you think, why would he do that? Why is that important? Chazal say as follows, the Gemara in Chulin. Chazar al pachim ktanim mikan letzadikim shechaviv aleihem memonam yoter migufa. Tzadikim care about their money more than their bodies. What does that mean? We just got through saying that their money, that's not what's important in life. So the Gemara says, v'chol kach lama lefi she'ein poshtim yideihem begezel. Because they know that these pachim ktanim, whatever they gained the kashrut shlema. It was 100% on the up and up. They didn't cheat, they didn't steal. In other words, this pach katan, these vessels, they're not important because of what they are actually worth physically, monetarily. They're important because they have spiritual value to them. To Yaakov, I'm not going to let those go. I got those. I worked really hard for it. And I could have stolen, I could have cheated, and I didn't. So those are very important to me. And on another occasion, Chazal, in a few weeks from now, Chazal also say, Rashi quotes it, Yaakov took all of his possessions that he had gotten by Lavan, and he gave it to Esav, and he said, listen, you can take all this, and that was, we're talking about, equivalent today of millions of dollars worth of merchandise. He said, take it, keep it. All I want is your portion in Ma'arat HaMachpelah. Ma'arat HaMachpelah, grave you can't bury somewhere else. He could be rich. Why would he do that? Because again, who cares about Gashmiut? Who cares about that? What we care about is spirituality. That's what Yaakov Avinu cared about. And really, finally, the concept of Chanukah that's coming up. That's what Chanukah is all about. The Chashmonaim, Matityahu and his sons, they could have gone with the flow, right? Everyone else was becoming mityavein, was becoming Hellenistic. And that was fun, it was sports events, wrestling matches, women, money, everything you could imagine. But they didn't. And they were willing to fight for Am Yisrael, they were willing to fight for their ideals. because they understood that there's nothing more precious in this world than Torah and mitzvot. And you know, I always find very, very ironic that Hanukkah, again, Hanukkah, the main thing is to increase our Torah and mitzvot, especially Torah, because the Greeks didn't let us learn Torah. It was punishable by death. So we should strengthen our limud Torah. But what is Hanukkah all about today? It's, especially in Yeshivot, it's the greatest bittul Torah possible. Because there's days off. Okay, I understand you have to have a little vacation. Fine. But there's also afternoon seder is strange because you have to go down and light your candles, and I'm not against that. Obviously, you have to light your candles, and it's a mitzvah. Of course, you're going to do the mitzvah. But let us understand, maybe, and I think maybe this is something that we should really keep in mind, that maybe Hanukkah should be the turning point. Again, according to my calculation, once we get to Hanukkah, 50 days of these 150 days that we have to fill our carts with Torah and mitzvot, 50 days will have gone. A third of the year will be over by Hanukkah. We have two-thirds left once Hanukkah comes. Let's really dedicate ourselves and let's stop wasting our time. Let us use the time we have to fill our carts with the most precious thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, Torah and mitzvot. Thank you.
Thank you.